Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, the subject of child abuse and neglect is never an easy one. Most of us will go out of our way to avoid it. We're all aware of the recent stories of Erin Maxwell, the little girl who died in Oswego County, allegedly murdered, certainly neglected, a real tragedy that many people think should have and could have been uncovered and avoided. And then a few weeks later, the death of Imani Jenkins, allegedly at the hands of her mother's live-in boyfriend. Arrests included her daycare provider who, despite laws that designate daycare providers as mandated reporters, never told police she suspected Imani was being abused. In the studio with me this morning is Dr. Ann Botash. Good morning, Dr. Botash.
Good morning.
Dr. Botash has been a guest before. She's a professor of pediatrics at SUNY Upstate, and she's the medical director at the McMahon Ryan House, which assists abused children and their families. And she joins us this morning to talk about two great programs, one for families and one for professionals, both great resources. You know, Dr. Botash, I was struck when I was researching for our conversation this morning, there was a quote on the homepage for one of the programs we're going to discuss in a minute, and it says, the biggest myth of child abuse is that danger comes from strangers, that in fact, most cases, the perpetrator is someone who the parent or child knows and trusts. That is a stunning and frightening statement.
Yeah, I think that that statement alone makes people feel kind of like, I can't do anything about this, because it's, how do you prevent something when it's actually happening in your home? And it is scary. I mean, it's not the monster outside. It's not, you know, the perpetrator that's, you know, portrayed as this person in a raincoat standing on a street corner.
Right.
It's none of those people. It's
when you lock the doors, you're locking the perpetrator in, not out.
Right. Or it could be a neighbor. It could be somebody at school. It is, though, usually. In all the cases that I've seen, it's someone that the parents know or the child knows well.
And therefore has access to them. Is it possible in these families that the abuse is going on and other family members don't know about it?
I think that that's definitely possible. I think many times, though, the family members feel either uncomfortable or they have some kind of instinct that something's not right, but they aren't able to put their finger on it,
and many or they're times, afraid to put their finger
yeah,
on
or,
it.
Or it's sort of a subconscious fear. They aren't able to really think about it clearly because it's so foreign to them and so unbelievable that something like that would happen. So
you just can't imagine that somebody you would trust would do that to
you. Especially sometimes it's, you know, the father of the child, and their parents have been married for years, and, you know, how can a mother recognize that this person is really somebody different than they thought they married after so many years? And how, you know, I can feel for those people. I don't how they deal with it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. There's a system of mandated reporting, and I'd like to talk about that. I know that's been in the news recently, but I think it's important for people to understand exactly what that means.
Yeah, mandated reporters have been around now for a long time. 1989, I believe, was the year that the law was passed that professionals who deal with children in New York State are required to report any suspicion of child abuse, any type of child abuse. So those professionals are medical people who hold a professional license, could be a teacher, EMTs. There's a whole list, actually, on the Office of Children and Family
Services. Daycare providers.
Yes.
Yes.
So people who are responsible for the care of a child, or responsible in some way to take care of a child, and have a license in New York State to do that. So those people actually are required to take a two-hour course before they can even get their license. So they know who they are. They've taken this course. But it may have been 1989 when they took the course.
Sure.
Because they're not required to retake it. And the course itself really is about how to make a report, not necessarily how to specifically suspect it in your setting. So, for example, a teacher might see different things than what a doctor would see. So the mandated reporter classes more recently have been you know, more specific for the different mandated reporters. But in general, it's the same course. And that makes it hard for the mandated reporters because all it is how to make a report. And it's not to do what to do afterward. Mm-hmm. You know, once you make the report, it's...
Or even to know
it's not
when
over.
It's time to report. You know, what are the things going on with the child that I should recognize as something that maybe indicates abuse or something along those lines? I raise that question because one of the big questions I know you deal with is abuse going on in a family, and someone's afraid to talk about it, afraid to reach out, afraid to get in touch with a professional who can help them. And yet what they need to know is that there are other people in that child's life who are mandated to report that. Parents really need to step up and start recognizing what's going on, don't they?
Yes. I mean, if a parent recognizes that their child is being abused and they don't report it, someone else will most likely pick it up and
right.
report it.
And then the parent could be accused of neglect, I would think.
Yeah, the parent is accused of neglect if they can find out, you know, if it's found out that they did know.
Well, let's talk about some of the ways that they can do that reaching out. What are some of the resources, and that's what you're really here to talk about this morning, where anyone who's in a child's life who suspects there's abuse, and they don't even have to know for sure it's going on, right?
Correct. And in fact, you know, the mandated reporters really are taught to just suspect. All you have to do is suspect. You don't, you know, in the medical field, we'd call it make a diagnosis. You don't have to know all the facts. All you need to know is that something's not right.
Okay.
And so you make this report, and there's a whole host of professionals, and in Onondaga County, it's our child abuse response team that are involved in investigating and in treatment of these children. So any one of those agencies will get you into one of the other agencies. And for example, the CARE program, it stands for Child Abuse Referral and Evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of referral. We want to make sure that the mental health issues are taken care of. So we will refer to Vera House. We, you know, will refer to the police if we think that this is something that needs to, you know, go to trial or mm-hmm. there's evidence here that the parent, you know, may not feel comfortable going to the police, and we'll encourage them because we know that this in the long run is going to be better in most cases, not always, but in most cases better for everyone. So, you know, all these people that are part of a team will do their piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what's overwhelming for people when they make a report. They feel like they need to know all of this.
Right.
And they don't.
They don't.
And they won't.
You know, we could actually make it fairly simple. If a parent of a child thinks that that child is being abused in any way, and even just is asking the question and doesn't have the answers, there are many points of contact for them. They can, talk to their pediatrician?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Or perhaps talk to the teacher and ask. Any of these people can help them get into the system that can help them figure out what's going on. Am I right?
Yes. I mean, that's really a good point. Because all of these people are mandated reporters, they should know what the resources
are. So it's not like you have to figure out the right place to start. Any place is the right place to start.
Yes. And it, you know, it could be, you could call the hotline yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different phone lines, one for mandated reporters and one for the general public.
And we'll get to those phone numbers in just a few moments because they are on the website. Let's talk quickly about the program that you're putting together for professionals, or actually it's been in force for a while, for the doctors and other professionals around the state.
Yeah, this is the CHAMP program, which mm-hmm. stands for Child Abuse Medical Provider, and we've actually been around for 10 years. We started as a very small program with our intent to try to increase the numbers of medical professionals who knew how to do the more expert exams for child sexual abuse.
And let's talk about those exams for a moment, because I think even that by itself is a little scary. If you have sexual abuse involved, they are not to the nth degree, are they?
No. In fact, I think a lot of people come to CARE, the CARE program, thinking this is a very scary thing, that there's going to be some invasive procedure that's done, and many people come expecting that we're going to be able to just look at the child and say, oh yeah, they've been abused or
mm-hmm.
they haven't been abused, and none of that happens. Our main role is to look for injuries, illness, and things that can be prevented, treat those things, reassure the family. We want to make sure that they're going to be okay, and
mm-hmm.
that's what our role is, and we think that that's you know, really important, and they can be helped mentally just by being told that physically they look okay.
Right. Well, and I suppose, too, that you're almost afraid to take your child someplace like that because you think they're going to be more abused in the process, and that's just not your role at all.
No. We really spend a lot of time with families talking, mm-hmm. and then with the children talking, and then doing an exam that's just like what's done in a general pediatric office, except that we are going to be trying to document any injuries. You know, it's a little more specific to looking for injuries.
And now through the CHAMP program, you're expanding that so that other doctors will be aware of exactly how to do these exams and how to work with the families?
Yes. The CHAMP program put together an educational curriculum, mm-hmm. and it's all available online, and we have a whole system for keeping the providers who are taught how to network mm-hmm. with each other, with their specific child advocacy centers. And we then have expanded that even further so
that's
that
fabulous.
We review their cases. And
how is it funded?
Well, it was funded initially by the Department of Health, and we're hoping that we'll have some continued funding from them. But the big bulk of the funding was through the Office of Children and Family Services the last couple of years, and that was cut.
That was cut
this year in the state budget.
Oh yes, so many things are being cut from the state budget. Can people donate then? Maybe through what, the Upstate Foundation?
That would be really wonderful if we could get some support to keep this program going.
That would be great. Well, one of the things I know they can do is they can learn more about all of your programs, whether it's for professionals or families, at champprogram.org.
Yes.
And they can learn all kinds of things there, can't they?
Yes, we actually have a couple of online courses there. Mm-hmm. We have another website that is an online book that many people use. It gets about 30,000 visitors
wow.
a month.
Excellent. Well, we will put links to all of them from our HealthLink On Air website. And Dr. Ann Botash, thank you so much for coming by and this important discussion. Hopefully we've reached out and there will be some families who step up and take care of their children.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we do need to take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.